Daniel chapter 4, you have Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. The interpretation of the dream is challenging, and it's really clear in the passage. It's repeated often that you need to learn that the Lord Most High rules the kingdom.
Hey Veritas, this is Michael Rhodes and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. How you doing, Jake?
Doing well. Yeah.
All right. So yesterday we're in Daniel chapter 4. Your main big idea was surrender to God's sovereignty for your sanity. All right. So we talked about sanity. We talked about insanity. We talked about pride. That's where we kind of dug deeply from the beginning, right? So why don't you just kind of summarize your message from yesterday? summarize it.
In Daniel chapter 4,
you have— Not the 8 o'clock service. Summarize the other ones.
Well, they all went long. So just some were longer than others. Daniel chapter 4, you have Nebuchadnezzar has another dream, looking for somebody to interpret. Still goes, like, he always goes to Daniel last, and you're like, when are you going to learn? You know, he just goes through his normal advisors, and they can't do it. Daniel does it. The interpretation of the dream is challenging. This is talking about you, Nebuchadnezzar, and you need to repent. He calls him to change, and then it jumps to a year later, and he's at home, prospering at ease, admiring his kingdom, really taking it in, taking credit for it, feeling good about himself. And then he goes mad by the decree of God as an act of discipline. And it's really clear in the passage, it's repeated often that you need to learn that the Lord Most High rules the kingdom. Rules everything. And then he's restored after the allotted time period and gives glory to God.
So. Yeah. So obviously there's a whole lot there. You mentioned going long each service, but like, and even I think I was in the 9:30 service and you're like, hey, I touched on this at 8 o'clock, but it still went long. Like, you mentioned the watchers, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you give us an idea of like, who are these watchers, and if there's anything else you wish you would have included?
Well, I think there seems to be a rise in interest of some the supernatural world, which is great. I mean, we believe in the supernatural world, and particularly the interest in a book of First Enoch, which is not part of the Bible, doesn't mean that you can't learn from it, but we don't look at it as the inspired word of God.
Sure.
So to make conclusions about the watchers, a lot of people draw from what comes out of First Enoch. Without going into that, Daniel chapter 4 is the only time that it comes up, and it's repeated 3 times. So what can we gather about this from the Bible? I think one thing we have to understand is the spiritual world is a lot more complex than we think. We tend to reduce it down to like God, angels, demons, and that's kind of it. But there's different types of spiritual beings with different types of roles and functions. You have cherubim and seraphim and archangels, and there's a host of heaven. There's angel armies, and when Paul talks about principalities and authorities and rulers, and we'll get later into Daniel when it's talking about the prince of Persia. So it seems like, is there, spiritual influences that are regional in the world. So there's a complex spiritual world. When we look at the watchers, every time it's stated, it gives a description, the Holy One, Holy Ones. And then even in the title, it could clue into a function. So I'm guessing, what do the watchers do? They watch, right?
Sure.
They're like looking out.
Seminary training for that one, right?
Yeah, just really dug deep for that. They're watching God's creation, and they're making decrees. It says that they made a decree. So some of it is how you interpret, like Psalm 82, where it talks about, God sits among the council of gods. And you're like, wait, what does that mean? It's this, and it seems to be some kind of spiritual beings that serve in kind of this council that God leads in ordaining things on earth. And are the Watchers one of those? You know, is Satan a part of that where, you know, he's going before God to accuse Job? So there's, we don't get a lot. You're kind of putting some pieces together. And some of that, I think, is the point. Like, this is not something that we major in.
Sure.
We major in the Lord Most High. That's who we focus on. And he's sovereign over all of it. But we should understand that the spiritual world is very complex, and we see that kind of a little bit in Daniel.
So you said not to major in those things, but it feels like the world that we live in now, some Christians are starting to major in those.
Sure.
You know, where it's like, I'm going to listen to every podcast about the Nephilim or, all this kind of stuff.
You can get into Bigfoot pretty soon. Yeah.
So, like, what would be just a pastoral word of caution or wisdom for people who are diving deeply into that?
It's interesting in our culture because we're coming out of a very naturalistic time where, you know, reason, where we want to explain everything away, and even to a period in history where people try to explain miracles away. And so I very much welcome a renewed passion to the supernatural world. And believe that, I mean, that's the Bible talks about. It's just, let's not get passionate about lesser things.
Sure. I was thinking, like, instead of renewed passion, some people have a renewed obsession.
Yeah.
And that's where we don't want our people to go to.
Yeah. Like you're reading all about this, you know, angels and demons and listening to all these podcasts, and you have so much devotion in that, and it's like, but you haven't really read your Bible that much. You haven't sought the one that all those, you know, angels were made to glorify. We just want to keep a supremacy of God at the forefront of that. But the spiritual, we don't want to be ignorant about the spiritual world. So it came up in the text.
Yeah.
And I just knew, like, oh, and there's a certain group in our church that hears the word watchers, and they're like, what are you
here
gonna
we
say?
Go. Yeah.
So the basic is, I think we get an idea of what they do based on their title, and it always comes with that description of holy ones, and it's just another peek into the complexity of the spiritual world.
Is there anything else from yesterday that you would want to touch on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I scratched out a lot of rabbit trails that you want to go down, but. Going long every time. It's like, yeah, you pretty much got it in there.
Okay. All right. So this text addressed Nebuchadnezzar's like sanity or insanity often.
Yeah.
How does this text speak into our world, which seems to be, maybe not even seems to be, is obsessed with mental health, mental illness? You even made a comment at one point, like Nebuchadnezzar's mental illness was thinking he was God.
Yeah.
So, like, how would you say this speaks into that culture that we're finding ourselves living in right now?
Yeah. It's certainly a topic that's talked about a lot. I think, some people look at this text and try to explain Nebuchadnezzar's period of madness of, like, oh, he had a mental illness. But the point was to point out he had a mental illness before that led to this level of crazy. And it was pride. It was, you know, we act like God. And I said, we don't act like God in a sense where we think we made planets, you know, but we act like God where we think creation was made for us.
Yeah.
We steal worship and glory, and that's insane. And I think the text really makes a point of saying, because you act like this, I'm going to show how that's crazy.
Yeah.
And when you acknowledged, where you looked up to heaven, your reason returned to you. And I think what's behind a lot of mental illness is still the same principle of an obsession of inward focus, an obsession of outward focus in the sense of I'm so full of anxiety because of the chaos in our world. Sure. I mean, I don't remember who told me recently, but the highest, like, what's the generation that's now? Gen Alpha or Gen one of those reports, the leading cause of anxiety is climate change anxiety, of just real fear about the end of the world through climate change. And so I think that's a result of you're not looking up, you know.
Sure.
We have extremes amounts of narcissism, extremes amount of anxiety, and it's the focus is off. We try to find answers in the wrong places. We try to find peace in the wrong places. You try to tell somebody, you know, you look within and you find the answers within. That's not good for your mental health.
Sure.
Because you won't find the answers from within. So I think the same connection of if we want to be healthier mentally, we got to look up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was teaching the foundations doctrine class on Sunday morning, and we were talking about the glory of God and how in Isaiah 48, like God says, like, I'm not going to share my glory with anybody else.
Yeah.
Yet, and then you see later on, this is like the really sobering reality in Acts of Herod, like, oh, he tried to like take the glory from God and what ended up happening to him.
Yeah,
like,
that didn't play out too well.
Didn't go so well.
Yeah.
You know, but like how often are we stealing the glory of God, making it about us? Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's not what life's about. I'm not going to share my glory. You don't get that glory because that's not who you are, but that's who I am.
Yeah.
You
know, so. And having stuff or being in a position is not bad because it's interesting in the text sometimes, rightly so, it's pointed out when Nebuchadnezzar is on a his palace looking out, he's like, look at my kingdom and all that I have done for my glory. It's very self-centered.
Sure.
But then you get back when he's restored and it's like my kingdom to my majesty, to my glory. So it's the same thing. So it's like, it's not wrong that you have your kingdom. It's not wrong that you have status. But he's in a completely different place because now he's a king that's saying, oh, I'm not the king of kings.
Yeah.
You know, I serve God. I, you know, I praise and honor him. So he's got stuff with the right perspective versus you got a lot of stuff with the wrong perspective.
So thinking of that perspective and thinking about our church, when Nebuchadnezzar's, you know, called to lift his eyes to the heavens, right? What does that practically look like? Or what could that practically look like for our church who you can get so self-absorbed, self-consumed? How could they lift their eyes? How could we lift our eyes to the heavens?
Well, I think guarding the disciplines of the pointers, your daily Bible reading is just like coming back to reminding yourself of God, corporate worship. You got to guard those things to continue to point yourself back to what life is about, who it's about, who it's for. So things that reinforce. And when we begin to be laxed on those type of things, we're more susceptible to slip into making life about us, slip into the mental illness part of full of worry and full because we've been so captivated by the troubles, the problems, the successes. So we have to guard the things that keep pointing us to God.
Sure.
So when you hear people say like, you don't have to read your Bible every day. You don't have to go to church every week. I just feel like, well, no, but
I don't have data on this. Yeah. I can't imagine there's many people who have been out of church since COVID because they like, okay, I stepped away and we never got reengaged. I can't imagine that there's many people who would go, my mental health is far better in the last 5 years than it was when I was going to church every week.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard for me to imagine that. Or yeah. I haven't read my Bible in 5 years. I think I'm in a much better place.
Totally. You had, what is it, Psalm 72 or 73, where he's like, he starts to envy the wicked. Sam, is that 72 or 73?
I'm looking right now.
So he starts to envy the wicked, and he's like, I almost slipped. Like,
yeah, Psalm 73.
Psalm 73. And it's like, why are they prospering and I'm trying to follow God? And, you know, he's frustrated. And then it gets to the middle of the psalm, and he's like, until I went into the sanctuary of God and discerned their end. And there was like, going to worship reminded him what life was about. Yeah. And if you don't put yourself in those contexts, it's easy to make life about things it's not about.
Yeah, so. Totally. All right. So we have some listener questions from the past couple weeks. Excuse me. I'm going to just read these because this is a little longer question, but I think as people were discussing at their connection group the past couple weeks' sermons, you had mentioned something like, don't protest, just participate. You gave example, and maybe that was not exact wording.
Yeah, I believe it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't protesting. They weren't participating.
Sure.
So I just want to clarify. I didn't say protesting is always wrong. I'm just saying that's not how they were going.
That's good. So, and you gave it examples like youth sports, how we dress. So the question here is like, what about other things we encounter in the world? So things discussed like in their connection group was, you go to the eyeglass store, the makeup store, and there's cross dressers there. Should we as believers avoid those type of stores, avoid those type of establishments that are kind of openly embracing like ideologies that we wouldn't as Christians?
That's a great question. I think I'm reminded of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, like we're not to judge outsiders in the sense if that were the case, we couldn't interact with anybody.
Sure.
Like we live in Babylon. Like you're gonna deal with secular-minded people. We're in the world. We're not of the world.
And we're thankful for a savior who said, I can't avoid all these sinners.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go into their world
totally
for their salvation.
Yeah. So I think when it comes to businesses and making decisions on spending your money. I mean, there's certain things where it's like our own holiness and then our own practical living. So like our own holiness, like I'm not going to watch that show. I'm just not going to support that program.
Sure.
I'm not going to engage in watching it. But it's like I need to get my car fixed and, or whatever the thing
sure.
may be. Go get your car fixed. Now, if I know, that mechanic's a brother in Christ, it's like, I want to go support him and his business or something. So,
how far should we go? Like, we know we need to take care of our families, but then, like, where do we draw that line?
You know? That's tough because I don't know. It was a while back where, was it Target came out with like a clothing line that was, it was like satanic. It was a, does anybody remember that?
I don't remember that one.
Sam, do you? I'm not making this up.
I did just search that and I've got satanic pajamas and clothing for women, kids, and family at Target. That's interesting.
It was
2023.
Yeah, it was, okay. It was like, are you kidding me?
That was the LGBTQ like pride stuff.
Yeah, same thing. So there's a sense where it's like, whoa, I don't want to support that. But you can get yourself in a sense of like, are you going to try to investigate every corporation's like, well, Disney supports this, so we're not going to Disney World. I think you can get too far where it's like, guys, we live in this world and we're called to engage with lost people and be a light and show. I'm not advocating like this boycott. That can get really weird quick. But I do think we should be wise with our money and make choices on, like, I've never said this before, but or publicly, I don't know if they do it still. There was a while where, like, Hardee's commercials were pretty grossly sexual. And we were just like, I got other options, right? We'll go to Burger King or McDonald's. Like, we made a food choice because of their commercial choices. Sure. Now, I didn't, like, broadcast, nobody eat at Hardee's. Or, you know, like, it was just, hey, we're making some choices on some value-based choices.
But I think what's critical there, Jake, is you and Marcy, your family thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, you considered it. I think so many people in our church, they don't even consider it. They just go about their lives living in Babylon, and it's not even a thought of, oh, I need to be like sanctified living in Babylon. Mm-hmm. I need to live on mission, but I'm not even considering my choices. I'm just like swallowing up as much as I can get. You
know? And I think if more Christians were conscientious in their spending that sense, then your companies are going, they're after money. I mean, it's a free market capitalistic society. And if Hardee's is like, you know what, all those commercials, our profits went down. Sure. Like, we're not appealing to an audience. But when you have what some people might argue, like, there's a lot of Christians in America, but if they're not being conscientious in kind of letting their values live out, then you're going to have continued shows, companies, whatever, continue to express non-Christian type of values.
Yeah. All right. So one more here. On a similar vein, I think you mentioned John 15:18, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. You talked about that a couple weeks ago. You said something along the lines, and you can correct me if it's not a direct quote here, that the world might even call you a bigot at some point. What do you do about fellow believers who are misguided on core issues, life, marriage, gender, who also call us bigots or show disappointment in beliefs and truth but claim Christ? So, and then I think this person acknowledged that often they may have less compassion for progressive Christianity than they do the world. Which, like, great, like, you can confess that, and I'm grateful for that in our church. But yeah, how would you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, back to that passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul's saying we don't judge outside, like, we'd have to leave the world. Like, he does go on to say, but we do judge insiders. Yeah. So there is a certain sense of, like, if you're claiming the name of Christ, then game on. We're both under the authority of the Word of God. So I think there's a platform to have more direct conversations. Now, I think on foundational issues, there is a sense of Christians may disagree on a lot of different peripheral convictions in life, and we should live with understanding to one another, bear with one another. But when you get to some issues, you start to erode your foundation. That I'm feeling like, okay, you're leaving Orthodox Christianity. Sure. So if it's
What would be a couple of those ideas that where you feel like, oh, you're now leaving Orthodox Christianity?
Yeah, I think if like you're affirming in a sense of supporting homosexual lifestyle. You just feel like, okay, you got to do some stuff with the Bible to get around that, that undermines the authority of God in that.
Or if you think like, oh, sure, Jesus is a way to get to heaven, you know, wait a second, you're like leaving Orthodox beliefs that Christians have believed since the beginning, right?
Yeah, like it's like Jenga, you're going to pull some blocks out, things crumble down. Sure. I just saw a story recently that I forget what branch of Lutheranism was it, but they were having some conference and a lady gave a list of Bible verses that they view as harmful. I'm like, well, that's so foundational to the Word of God being our authority. Like, I'm saying you crossed a line.
Yeah, very much so crossed a line. I think we've often talked about if we could get like – because I think it was Al Mohler who said like there's primary issues, secondary issues, and then tertiary issues. And the primary doctrines, we want to hold our people to. And on some of those other more maybe tertiary doctrines, we want to say like let's get to the Bible and have a Bible conversation versus like, well, what's your opinion on this? What's your opinion? Like our opinions don't really matter at all. So like let's go to the Bible and then as fellow believers, let's have a Bible conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, where are you getting your ideas from? I think that's really helpful. Yeah. I know for us as pastors, like, okay, now let's have a Bible conversation. Because not that we're trying to like, we're better and we know more about the Bible, but we actually have the same thing we're looking at versus just our opinions.
Yeah. And it's our authority.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think instead of what's your opinion, what's my opinion, it's what's your interpretation of this?
Yes, totally.
What do you think Paul's saying here? I think that's where the conversation needs to be had.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jake, thanks for yesterday. Surrendering to God's sovereignty or surrender to God's sovereignty for your sanity. We want to be people that recognize that life is not about us. It's about the glory of God.
Let's not be crazy people. That's what it should have been.
Sure.
Let's not be crazy.
Don't be crazy people.
Yeah, if you think this world's about you, you're crazy. Yeah. Let's not be crazy.
There you go. All right. So if you have more questions about crazy people, if you have more questions that you'd like us to address here on the podcast, you can submit those through the form linked on the digital program or in the weekly connection group email. But until then, join us next week for another episode of Beyond the Message. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks.